Good morning. This is Brad Lacey, pastor of First Baptist Church at Conshohocken, president of the Philadelphia Bible Society, and for this hour, host of The Great Message on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. We are joined for the fullness of the hour by a gentleman with whom I am becoming rapidly acquainted. He is a fine man and invested in some wonderful ministry. His name is Mr. Ted Hewson. He is the facilitator of something called Community Connections Collaborative. I love the alliteration, Ted. God bless you for being with us.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Well, it is a privilege. I've had a few of you, our mutual colleagues, on board, not as many as of yet. I'm just getting to know a number of you, but I'm just so happy you can join us today. Ted, it's a fairly formulaic approach, not always, but in this instance, formulaic on the one level, and yet quite singular and particular on another. I invite you in this first segment of our broadcast to allow us to get better acquainted with you. I'd like for you to share your story of faith, how you came to know Christ and found yourself in within the precincts of Christian ministry. Every testimony is different. So share with us, please.
Sure. I was attending Tabor Academy, it was a prep school in Marion, Massachusetts.
Wait a minute. Did you say Massachusetts?
Yes, Marion, Massachusetts.
Guess where I'm from, Mr. Ted? I'm a born and bred Bostonian. You said the magical word, yeah. Massachusetts.
I was born in Boston.
Were you? We need to talk further. Are you at the Shepherd's Club tomorrow?
Yes, I will be.
We're going to talk. All right, but continue, please.
So while there, my roommate invited me to a coffee house. And even though I wasn't a coffee drinker, I was wondering what a coffee house was. So I ended up going to a coffee house in New Bedford, Massachusetts. And while there, they were sharing the gospel. And so I took out my confirmation cross. I'd attended, grown up in the Episcopal Church, been a St. Thomas choir boy for 4 years, at St. Thomas Church in New York. And they were very gentle with me and said, we want to encourage you to read the Gospel of John. Have you read that yet? So I said, no, let me go do that. So over the next 3 weeks, I ended up reading the Gospel of John and was totally blown away by the Jesus, really, that I did not know. And you know, a radical Jesus that was, you know, making a difference in so many ways. And it was during that time that I decided I'd just give my life to Jesus and let him do whatever he wanted with it. And I just follow his Spirit's leading.
How old were you?
I was 17 at the time.
Okay.
So this was the beginning of a journey. A journey led by the Spirit that I'm just totally blown away by. As I even recount some of the specifics, I'll give you one or a few. Like, for instance, I started a Christian fellowship at Tabor Academy. Then I went to Johns Hopkins University, started an InterVarsity Christian fellowship there. Got involved with the InterVarsity and went to their Urbana, Illinois missions conference in December 1976.
If I may simply interject for our audience, yeah. The Urbana Missions Conference, I don't know about now, but back in that day, it was quite the thing amongst evangelical Christians, wasn't it?
It definitely was. And I happened to be living next door in the place they put us to the administrator of Hospital Vazandes, a hospital on the edge of the jungle in Ecuador. And as God had it, the administrator invited me to come down in the summer of 1978. And to all I can say is that was a life-changing experience for me in many, many ways. I got to, although I had a fear of snakes, that was my one prayer going into it, that I would not be bitten by a snake. In fact, the many people in the hospital I was at were there because of very poisonous snakes in the region. So I ended up getting to know on the many of the people from the community, those in need and those we were served, as well as the physicians and those who were helping. One day I got invited to go into the Amazon, specifically to fly on a prop plane to Macuma. And then, so I took up that opportunity, not knowing all that would be involved there. I took a trip on a very wide road to a river that had piranhas in it. Oh, that was lovely for a day while they treated some patients in Macuma. But then the next day, they said, we're going to go for like a 3 to 4 hour hike with a guide into this remote village to care for a patient. And I had boating boots, not boots for the jungle, and ended up going nevertheless and stepping in the deepest part of the mud and doing everything this way, make it difficult. But that experience, when we got to the village, it was just amazing to see and experience. But getting back, I really was wondering if I would live. It was so, so difficult. And I'd had all the wrong things, but from that.
Well, Ted, I say this with affectionate humor. These evangelicals may have led you to Christ, but they were certainly not taking you into very dangerous territory.
Yeah, and here, with all the snakes, et cetera, unfortunately, I didn't get bit, but it was like I learned the difference between the wide path and the narrow path, and the difficult path. And I chose from that point on, I would choose the difficult path as the Spirit led. And that's, in other words, to not be intimidated. So that was a life-changing experience. Also, the other aspect of it was learning that people were more important than places. You know, often people would come down, even different youth groups would be taking pictures of the scenery, which was so beautiful, but then miss, the relationships among the people, poor people, that were transformative and sustained them through much. The relationships were key.
Well, it's interesting because I did some short-term missions assignments in the late 90s when I was, I'm thinking, in my mid to late 30s. And I went over several times to Moscow in Russia, and also to Chennai in India. More the Chennai experience, we had missionary teams coming in from all over for short-term assignments, and I'm taking nothing away from the laudatory nature of those assignments, please.
Mm-hmm.
And there were some wonderfully devoted people. But I did observe that there were some people on those assignments who were there for their own purposes. Whether it was they were living vicariously through what they would encounter, I won't go into details. There was one man who was as much concerned with his business prospects as he was with the gospel. I actually had to confront him at one point.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. We have to be, there are people, there are places, and there are things. The people are of primordial and primary interest. I'm so glad you caught that right from the start.
Yeah, relationships matter, and it was sustaining, and just to be a part of that, and as well, relationships in the process was transformative as well. I'm going to skip ahead for time. There are other points that took place before this, but I'm going to skip to December 1981. Getting ready to graduate from Cornell with a master's degree in healthcare administration.
So you've gone from Johns Hopkins to Cornell.
You right, and a lot between.
Pedigree.
Right, and I've been doing computer work. I've been a programmer doing computer work, developing diagnostic-related groups, all these other things that God gave me the experience in. But amidst this, I'd gone to a church in Philadelphia called Living Word Community just once. I had done a ministry of residency at Chestnut Hill Hospital that previous summer. But I started to circulate my resume all over Philadelphia and say, you know, I'm looking for a job. And shortly, when I came to Philadelphia and started calling around, it became clear the only way to get a job was to do another administrative residency. So I called around and called Frankfurt Hospital. And I said, well, did you get my resume? I said, no. Well, did you get, do you have administrative residency? And they said, yes, but please get your resume in really quickly because we're getting ready to interview for it. So I quickly go back to Cornell, to my computer, throw a resume out to them for the thing. And then the day after, I go review my letter to them. And I see I've totally blown it. I misspelled the CEO's name. But even worse, I said, I'm especially interested in Provident Hospital because of its location. Well, there's no Provident Hospital in Philadelphia. So I called them the next day.
I have to tell you, all that higher level of academia at Hopkins and Cornell, so far you're not proving your more lustrous self.
Right,
I'm going to hold you right there. We do have to take a break. So hold your sentence, your thought pattern. We do take a break. We're going to come back. You pick up right where you left off. Brad okay. Lacey and Mr. Ted Husom of the Community Connections Collaborative, a wonderful ministry. Praise God. We shall return in just a moment. Thank you. Brad Lacey and Mr. Ted Husom, or forgive me, Husom, of the Community Connections Collaborative, returning for a second round of the great message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Ted, you've landed your feet in Philly. You're trying to secure a job. You're making a small handful of fundamental errors. Continue, please, because clearly you got past them.
Well, After I totally blew the letter, cover letter, I called them the next day. Unfortunately, they laughed and invited me in for an interview. And I became one of 10 candidates. No sparks during the interview, but that it happened. And they told me they'd get back to me sometime, I guess, beginning of March. Now, after this, I end up going to a conference in Washington, D.C., the first conference of a group called Christian Community Health Fellowship. And its motto was living out the gospel through healthcare to the poor. And I started looking for people from Philadelphia, and there is a Dr. Carolyn Klaus. So I go up and talk to Dr. Carolyn Klaus and say, you know, I'm looking for a job opportunity. In Philadelphia, I tell her, you know, I'm a healthcare Christian healthcare administrator. And she becomes extremely excited. She had, as I find out later, she had set a fleece out before God that if she met a Christian healthcare administrator at this conference, she would start a whole health ministry accordingly. Now, it turns out she was the pastor's wife of Living Word Community.
So may I use a phrase that I am wont to utilize? It's nothing original to me, but I'm helping to make it known. This is what we would call a providential orchestration, or a providentially
exactly.
orchestrated meeting.
And so later on, I go back to Cornell. She calls me and says, I want you to come down for our first meeting. Now, I hadn't heard yet from the group, but you know, by this time, the Spirit God has told me, can you trust me? Can you trust me? So I took the trip from Ithaca, New York, down to Philadelphia at the first meeting. And when I got back, there was an offer in my box for the administrative residency at Frankfurt Hospital. The funny part about this is that 2 weeks later, I got a rejection letter from Frankfurt Hospital for the letter, for the resume I had originally sent. I ended up spending that summer, thanks to Frankfurt, to be able to develop a financial model that would lead to a grant from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation to start Esperanza Health Center. The other miracle that occurred was Dr. Klaus became pregnant miraculously, and that stopped her for 5 years and learned that we needed to put in place, we needed to do health education for abundant living seminars among all the various churches in Philadelphia. So we did that in the in-between, built relationships and started to, God had his plans and worked it out. So now I joined. I was on the board. I served as treasurer. I also chaired as chairman of the board for a couple of years, and then as administrator for another couple of years during particularly difficult time. But God used this to teach me about the value of networking and relationship building, and just all the amazing things. I have tons of stories I can share of God's amazing intervention. But again, time doesn't permit it this time. But
Ted, if I may, having met you a handful of times, you come across quite sincerely as a very humble guy, but you have quite the academic, you have quite the lustrous resume, and you've got quite a bit of very impressive experience. Well, I mean, you wear the mantle of this work in a very humble, but no doubt very effective fashion. Tell me, please, through all of this, you're sharing with us of how God has been orchestrating your vocational pursuits. You're a servant of the kingdom within a healthcare industry. How have you been growing personally all through this time?
it just, after so many times where God has intervened and done the miraculous, you end up trusting him with absolutely everything and
Yes.
listening all the more closely to his spirit and letting him make connections and involve other people, what we're
Yes.
doing. I will, get to this a little bit here shortly with, the work of Community Connections Collaborative. But one thing he's done is constantly lead me to the next thing. And the next thing in this case was in 2001, I started to meet with pastors presenting a question, asking them over lunch, what would it look like if the walls were torn down between those in the body of Christ? And I call it the Joshua Initiative. And I went and had lunch with a whole bunch of pastors and asked them this question, then presented a vision of, hey, maybe coming to an area park nearest them and circling the park and starting to claim, God breaking down those walls. What I learned was common response was, oh, that's great, like the vision, but we won't do it until everybody else does. So but through that, again, just developed relationships with a lot of people in the body of Christ across the area and started to just learn further. From there, I ended up, I served as the Y2K director of Temple Health System, but then from that, learned emergency preparedness. So I ended up drafting a book on Prepared to Be a Blessing and a whole thing to do with how should we respond to emergencies and the risks? And I ended up giving presentations to different churches accordingly on that. So I have
Love
been
the
involved in all
concept.
these spaces that God was using to prepare me for what's next, which I'll get into.
Well, I love the concept of be prepared to be a blessing. I tell my people, I have my what I call my lovely little fellowship here in Conshohocken. And it's a natural instinct for Christians, and I think a very appropriate one. We look to God for blessing. We look to him for what we need.
Right.
Sometimes we look to him for what we want. And the Bible does say, and there's a context to it, that he grants to us the desires of our hearts. But I always encourage my people, when you ask God for a blessing, also simultaneous to that, ask him to make you to be a blessing. And we exist in part, we exist primarily, and I love it from the Westminster Confession, we exist primarily to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. But we also exist to be a blessing, a conduit of God's mercy and grace, also of his word of truth and the like. But we exist to be conduits of who God is and what he's endeavoring to do. You're doing this in a streamlined, channeled context. I love it. I absolutely love it. I truly do. Now, I notice you and I are able to see one another as we conduct this interview. I did just notice a wedding ring. How long have you been married?
I've been married since 1984. I met my
Okay.
love of life at Living Word Community.
Praise
She's a
God.
nurse practitioner. My daughter is a pediatrician, and I also have a son as well involved in the finance world.
Ted,
So
this church, Living Word Community, sounds like quite the locus for God's work and his presence. I mean,
and it has been.
You've cited it on multiple levels within the first 20 minutes of this broadcast.
Well,
Where is the church located?
17th and Ben Franklin Parkway.
Well, all right. You know some friends of mine. I'm working with them on lifting up Jesus at the Miller Theater. I'll just mention their first names, John and Verilea.
Oh, yes, I know
you
John
know
and
them.
Verilea. Oh, yes,
well,
definitely.
We'll talk about them tomorrow when we're together. But I've heard great things about your church. It's a messianic community, is it not?
Put it this way, charismatic, Bible-believing focused. So,
yeah.
I serve as a deacon in the church. I actually lead their Kingdom Seekers ministry with those on the street once a month, serving a meal and also serving the word. Where I go with a question and listen to them and show respect and learn so much from them in terms of how to reach out and encourage them to a relationship with Jesus. So that's another area that I'm involved
with. Well, praise God. I've been learning more and more about your church through various sectors. Ted, another break. Brad Lacey, Mr. Ted Hewson of the Community Connections Collaborative. We return with the great message momentarily. Thank you. Brad Lacey, Mr. Ted Hewson of the Community Connections Collaborative. That's a mouthful, Ted. We want to know more about what this means and stands for, okay?
Okay.
Or otherwise define it for us.
All right. In April 2019, I brought together leaders that I had met into a conference room at Temple University Health System and asked the question, what would most improve the health of the community? And the answer that I received was that there are hundreds of organizations serving, but they can't talk to one another. There's very little collaboration. And if we could help build relationships, help facilitate collaboration, we would make that would make a huge difference. And so that was the beginning of the forming of Community Connections Collaborative. We're not a 501c3. We're just really a relational group that has grown into a sizable network, relational network across the Philadelphia area of fellow connectors, people who see the value of bringing people together. When I originally started this, I asked the Lord, is this to be a Christian group, or, quote, a Christian ministry per se, working with other believers? And the response God gave was no. I mean, yes, we're going to certainly involve other believers, but this was to reach out to everyone, including those serving, maybe unknowing of that they were serving on behalf of Jesus. But so the relationships have grown over time in amazing ways. We met monthly, virtually, we still do, usually always meeting new people. Always talking about a topic of interest. So,
are we within the framework of the medical community strictly, or is this a broader operation?
Broader. Really others serving in the community, other community leaders, really. Anyone, we invite anyone to come who want to be part of the conversation. For instance, tomorrow we're having our next monthly meeting, and the topic is going to be on community. What are the characteristics of a thriving community? And how can we help get people there? Now, you know, and I know that the church has a key role in this, and certainly that is, we are continuing to network and involve other people in the church community in what we're doing. But that interaction is now between both believers and non-believers, so we can start to form relationships with them and show the light of Jesus in creative ways.
When I first came to faith in the mid-70s, I'm about 5 years behind you, if I do my math correctly, but we were coming to faith in roughly the same time frame. And what I remember through the 70s and 80s, thank God for what the evangelical community was accomplishing in terms of the spread of the gospel. But my concern was this underlay of concern I had that while we are called to be set apart on one level, There's also another level at which we need to be integrated into society to be making a difference with the light of Christ. And I didn't see that as readily. I even heard what I've learned with the church scene in Philadelphia. I began learning this 20 or more years ago, that even amongst fellow believers, there were barriers to more meaningful fellowship and unity. Mm-hmm. Those barriers are breaking down. And on the one hand, community connections, collaborative is reflective of that, but also I might suggest it is helping to spearhead that breakdown of obstruction.
Definitely. Besides facilitating collaborative efforts, I won't go into those specific projects, but we have held collaboratively three grassroots leaders networking mini summits, bringing people together, about 130 at the Salvation Army Croc Center here in Philadelphia. They donated the space, and we brought people together to ask. Our first one was on the topic of collaboration. What are the obstacles? What are the opportunities? And how can we together overcome those obstacles? So that was just one example. Then we did another one with workshops on everything from AI 101 to fundraising to diversified funding, and brought in people to speak on various topics as well. We also had resource fairs where people tabled and shared their what they were doing. So we've done three of those to date, but then our last one was in June of 2025. In July, as I was seeking the Lord with others about what our next topic would be, that's where food came up. But before I get to that, it's over the 7 years that we have developed a lot of relationships with the grassroots leaders and understand all the more what it is that their challenges. And it's a key time in the whole process. So I'm I'm getting a call here, but I'm taking care of it.
Let me ask you, Ted, when you're integrating Christians and ostensibly Christian groups with non-Christians and more secular organizations, what is the receptivity level on the part of the non-Christian sector for the inclusion of overtly and ostensibly Christian people and groups? Are you being well received? Is there any kind of tension? What's happening?
It is being well received, depending on the presentation. Like, for instance, in the different meetings, I will still pray in Jesus' name. But I'm purposely presenting, my own faith in a way. Say, I'm not requiring them to be believers in any way, but I'm being open, to them and respecting everyone in the conversation. So it's a matter of showing such respect. And saying, this is what was motivating me. What's motivating you might be different, but it's, and that has been well received. So it's like, I'm just trying to model what I know God has me doing, and people are appreciating that. So and then sharing the testimony, saying this is why I'm doing these things,
which is, by my estimate, textbook Christianity. I've been involved with a small nonprofit in the Conshohocken area for a long time, and I was always asked to bring a prayer at the annual dinner. And one time I offered the prayer, and I found out, and I say this with respect, as Christians, we are spiritual Jews. Our Lord and Savior was a Jewish man. As a Welshman, we believe we're the lost tribe of Israel. So when I speak of a contention that came from a Jewish individual, obviously I don't mean it in any anti-Semitic way, but the name of Jesus rankled, and there was complaint issued, and nothing personal. But that being said, I said to them, I said, look, the only way I know how to pray is in the name of Jesus. And what I did was, at the next session, I didn't back down, but I became more sensitive. And so the way I couched the prayer, I culminated with, you may conclude this prayer as you will. I offer conclusion as a believer in Jesus Christ. I pray in Jesus' name. That seemed to get the job done. And I don't feel that I denied Jesus, and yet I showed people sensitivity to their side of the equation. And it seemed to be the right formula. People can quibble, fair enough. But I think you're doing it the right way. You don't have an agenda. Your agenda is the express purpose behind the collaborative endeavor. But you can't avoid who you are. You're a representative of the gospel. And there's a fine line between getting it right and coming in with an outside agenda. That doesn't glorify God one iota. I honor you for the way you're going about it.
Yeah, I continue to be amazed. Our guide continues to connect me with people in a way that both believers and non-believers, and giving me opportunity to serve them, even in making connections that are helpful to them. And that's part of just, how can I say, doing as led by the Spirit. It's amazing.
Indeed. Tell me, you mentioned that your daughter is a pediatrician. Is your wife also in the medical field?
Yes, she's a pediatric nurse practitioner.
Okay.
And very much involved in the immigrant community, actually serving in a clinic that serves the Indonesian community, providing free care. So we've been involved in healthcare for a long time, but that obviously is not, now we're involved in other spaces as well.
I'm a cardiac patient. I've had a lot of very serious cardiac issues. I speak of what I call my triple play, electrical, muscular, vascular. I've been out to the Mayo Clinic for major surgery, amongst other things. My experience has been that there aren't as many believers, practicing believers within the medical community as we would like or as we would like to think. But I have found that when we present ourselves appropriately, there is both respect and openness. And I'm speaking on my side of the ledger as a patient. But Ted, break time. I'm so sorry. It's the bane of our existence. Brad Lacey, Ted Hewson, we return with one more round of The Great Message in just a moment. Brad Lacey and Mr. Ted Hewson of the Community Connections Collaborative returning for one final round of The Great Message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Before we proceed apace, just a couple of items of business at my end. Number one, I would like to direct you to a website called voicesofphiladelphia.org. Again, voicesofphiladelphia.org, courtesy of the Philadelphia Bible Society. We have been putting together an audio Bible using known voices throughout the city of Philadelphia. We have the complete New Testament uploaded onto the site. We are working on the Old Testament. I think you will find it to be a worthy take-in. Also, coming on Saturday, October 3rd of this year, is a program called Lifting Up Jesus at the Miller Theater. We're endeavoring to do a collaborative effort of bringing together city and suburban churches, Black, white, Asian, Hispanic churches, Catholic, Protestant, Orthodox churches, Messianic, fundamental, Pentecostal churches, all with the express purpose of lifting up Christ on the part of men and women who have the presence of Christ filling them. We would love to have you. Lifting Up Jesus at the Miller Theater. You can reach out to me, please, and we'll talk further about it. Ted, please tell us briefly about the Esperanza Health Network.
Yeah, just going back to my original story, God has blessed Esperanza now to be a federally qualified health center with three different locations serving thousands of patients in the name of Christ. And you know, what he starts, he completes. And yes, there are multiple people he brings in at specific times to do his work. And he works with us. And that's special. So I did want to just move on and talk about our next effort with Community Connections Collaborative, another collaborative work that is forthcoming on June 5th at Temple University in their Howard Gibbs Student Center. We are bringing together grassroots leaders, community leaders, and government leaders as well on the topic of food insecurity. And the theme is overcoming food insecurity together. We are in Philadelphia, a particularly siloed town, and we need to start tackling some of those silos by encouraging people to come together, get to know others who are doing like work, and start to work together. The thing about food insecurity is that it has roots, roots in poverty, roots in a lot of different aspects, even addictions, a whole lot of things. And we know that if we're ever going to make a dent on this issue in our city, which impacts over 260,000 people in our city, we need to come together. So we already have 350 people or more registered for this summit. The information about it can be found on the website, phillyfoodsummit.org. That's phillyfoodsummit.org. You can find out more information there as well as have an opportunity to register. But this is one example of just where our opportunity, where we really do want those in the body of Christ to come alongside and listen to those on the front lines and understand the challenges and then come work alongside those that are serving such. There's a passage in Ephesians 4, starting in verse 11, where it says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip the people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith. And it goes on, you can read, you know, through verse 16, but the thing is, until it begins with equipping his people for works of service. And that is what we're looking to do as we come alongside that that need our help and service. We get equipped, one, by relationally get to know people who maybe some do, but many don't know Jesus. And this is an opportunity to listen and start to interact with. And yes, even have challenges, and difficulties as we do some difficult things, but it's through that God matures us. This is James chapter 1, this beginning. That's how He equips us, is through some of those trials, and it's through that we become mature and then attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. It's not, put it this way, going back to the narrow path and the wide path, it's comfortable in the wide path, but in the narrow path has its risks and challenges. But it's in that narrow path that we start to experience God and God's presence in a way that we really cannot otherwise. And that starts with, yes, reaching out and serving others that are very different than ourselves, listening, growing, understanding, feeling, emphasizing all the other pieces that can be a part of doing works of service.
Ted, if I may, you bring clearly, just in this conversation alone, I discern it, you bring a spiritual maturity to the table. Spiritual maturity comprised, I would argue, at least your expression thereof, of a humility on the one, an earnestness on the other. And to my mind, that is an unbeatable combination. Sometimes, if I may put it this way, if we're not careful, and this is my perception, if we're not careful, the evangelical world sometimes leans into or strives towards the flamboyant, the sexy. Humility and earnestness are not sexy, but my goodness, they're downright fruitful, And it's just frankly a privilege to be talking or to be conversing, even better, with a man of your Christian caliber. You allow the Spirit of Christ to shine through you. It's a very beautiful, manly thing. I don't mean to be embarrassing you.
All right. All I can say is, even preparing for this food summit since July of last year, I think, oh God, you're crazy. I mean, this is crazy. It's impossible. And he says, and we learn through the trials and also listening to those around us too. but mostly the spirit as he guides us. And that's where I have many faults. And
I have no doubt.
I continue to put it this way. It's not my work, it's his work. And he's the one bringing everyone together to make this possible in amazing ways. And to God be the glory.
Praise
God. Not me, it's him.
And I don't mean to suggest that it's God, right. But it's God using you and others like you. Character is at the core of any divine work. Ted, we've got 30 seconds. Just share with us again, where and when is this endeavor or project?
It's on June 5th of this year at Temple University's Howard Gates Student Center. Go to the website, it has all the information. PhillyFoodSummit.org. Everything there you need to know, including the ability to register.
Praise God. As I did tell you before we actually began this broadcast, the time flies. It has flown. Brad Lacey, Mr. Ted Hewson of the Community Connections Collaborative. Thank you, Ted. Ted and I wish you God's grace and blessing in every way. Take care.
Amen.